This mimer was delivered by the Rebbe Shabbos Parshas Ekev, which was Chafav, as you know, is a special date, Chaf Menachemav. The year was 1963. There's not any way that we're going to be able to learn the whole mimer, but hopefully we're going to learn enough of the mimer to be able to leave here with some kind of explanation and some kind of edification and some kind of satisfaction, even though today's mimer is all about starving satiation, which is a little bit of an oxymoron. Okay, this is based on a pasuk in this week's Torah portion. Chapter 8, verse 3, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayancha, Vayar Ivecha, Vayachilcha Asamon. So the word Vayancha comes from the word Inui, which means it was tormented. Vayar Ivecha comes from the word Ra'avon, which means
hunger.
So we have inui on Yom Kippur, because we don't eat. We could experience a starving sensation. Vayachilcha, and he fed you the man. In other words, the man was food that caused a starving sensation. Umedayek admur merashab nishma seydin. The Rebbe Rashab is medayek in his mimer, which begins with the very same words that was recited in Tafel Yishayin Hay. In 1915. So in the middle of the most tumultuous period, the communists are busy rising to power, Yiddishkeit is being assaulted from all sides, and the Rebbe is teaching Chassidus. And he says over there, the Bechamim that came as Beteira, there are several places in the Torah, Medaber, B'maylas Hamon, it speaks about the virtue of the miraculous food that the Jewish people were fed during the sojourn in the desert, what we call the manna. And despite the fact that the Torah uses various descriptions, it's here in Parshas Ekev that the Torah uses this very, very unusual set of descriptive terms. Vayancha, that he literally tormented, anguished us. Vayarivecha, and he starved us. Shehu lecha eire, hepecha maila. Intuitively, and logically, to say that the food is so good, it'll starve you. The food is so good, it'll torment you, does not sound like a virtue at all. It sounds like the opposite of a virtue. That's a vice. If I was going to try to sell you on man, it's probably not the first thing I should tell you. This is great stuff. You should buy it. You'll feel starving. Really? Yeah. And not only this, it will torment you. Well, why don't you eat it? Leave me alone. Nobody wants this. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu talking about the man? And he seems to be shedding a dark light on the man, or taking light off the man. He's talking about vices, not virtues. Gam tzarech lahavin, another thing that has to be better understood. The Isa b'Gemara, it says in the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Memches, Meshe tikein li Yisrael birchas hazan. The Gemara says that it was Moshe Rabbeinu himself who formulated the first of the three major blessings of Birchat HaMazon. Later on, there's a fourth blessing. This comes much later. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the first one to begin to give the Jewish people an actual text of verbiage, and Moshe Rabbeinu formulated the first bracha.
Why wouldn't he if there was no satiation?
Excellent question. And when did he do it? No. Bishah sheyared lahem man. Man fell. Moshe Rabbeinu introduced the Jewish people to a new prayer. That's when he composed Birchas Hazon. The Gemara says, Yehoshua, his successor, Joshua, Tikin Lahem Birchas Ha'aretz, he is the one who formulates the second bracha, the bracha which thanks Hashem for the land of Israel. When would he do that?
When
they entered the land of Israel. Kivan Shenichnus Ha'aretz. Because of HaRashba, the Rashba writes, the Pirush Meisha Tikein Chulu, Yeshua Tikein Chulu. When it says that Meisha established, Meisha formulated, Meisha arranged, and or Yeshua arranged, Hu Shetiknu Lahem Matbeya HaBrachas. That means that they are the ones who created the actual syntax of the blessings. They coined the verbiage that we use. Why does Rashba have to say this? He has to say this, the HaBrachas Atzmam. Hey, min ha-teirah. Birchas HaMazon itself is a biblical idea. So if it's a biblical idea, You cannot say that Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin. Moshe Rabbeinu established, it was his injunction. Or Yehoshua established. How could that be? That's a stira. That's a contradiction. Like it says previously in the Gemara, that the words in the Torah, in the scripture from last week's parsha, v'achalta, v'savata, uveirachta, pardon me, this week's parsha, in the beginning of this week's parsha, right at the end of the first reading. V'achalta, v'sad, you eat, v'savata, and you're satiated, uveirachta, and then you bless. And the Gemara says, Zoi birchas hazan, this is the blessing that speaks of God's nurturing, God's provision, God's taking care of us. And then the pasuk goes on to say, Al ha'aretz, you verachta, you bless Hashem, Al ha'aretz, Zu birchas ha'aretz, this is the bracha of Eretz Yisrael. So let's not talk about the third blessing now, which is David and Shlomo were misakin, which is almost 500 years after the Jewish people actually leave Mitzrayim. Let's talk about the first two blessings. The pasuk, the verse itself, identifies a bracha of hazan, a bracha of thanking Hashem for nourishment, for being nurtured by God, being fed by God, sustained by God. And the Torah itself says we have to thank God for the land. The Torah itself says it. You're going to be satiated and you're going to bless. And then you're going to bless God, Allah Aretz HaTeva, for the good land. So the Rashba has a problem here. How do you explain this Gemara? Here you say it's bin HaTeira, it's biblical. And over here you say that it's something that Moshe was misakin, or that Yeshua was misakin. So the Rashba says, it's not to be taken literally that Yeshua was misakin the idea. Rather, the Torah did not introduce syntax. The Torah did not give us a specific framework. It said, thank God, you must thank God for being nourished. You must thank God for the land of Israel. But the Torah didn't go into the details. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who establishes and creates the formula that we use. The Issa B'Lakuta Teira. It says in Lakuta Teira in this week's parsha, the Hatam Al Shagam Birchas Ha'aretz Maskirin Va'al Achilas Mazin. That the reason in Birchas Ha'aretz, the blessing of the land, which we is the blessing we call Neidelecha. The second blessing we mention, not only the land of Eretz Yisrael, but we also mention achilas mazein, the consumption of food that nourishes. Ubechasimus habracha, and in the close of the bracha, chayis min al haaretz v'al hamazein. We conclude by saying we thank God al haaretz for the land v'al hamazein and for the food, for the nourishment. Af al pisha berchu kvar berchas hazan. Even though seemingly you already made this bracha earlier. That you, in the first blessing, you thank God for the nourishment, so the second blessing should be Al Ha'aretz. It should be all about the land. So the Alter Rebbe explains in Likutei Torah, Ki Hanusach V'Hamat Be'ad Birchas Hazon, that the verbiage, syntax, and formula of the first blessing of Birchas Hazon is Al Hamon. It's for manna, which is called Lechem in Hashamayim, the bread that fell from heaven, and there's a whole discussion in the Achreinim, what bracha they would have made, because we presume that they made brachas, even though there was no matbea, they didn't officially coin the phraseology of blessings, and we don't know about this till the times of the Mishnah. Nonetheless, our sages do assume that they made brachas. So the question, what bracha did they make? So one of the opinions is, a few opinions. One of the opinions is, lechem min hashamayim. And at any rate, it is called lechem min hashamayim, lechem abirim, heavenly bread. Umazin shebe birchas ha'aretz, but the nourishment, the satiation, the food which we talk about in the second blessing is not lechem in Hashemayim, but rather lechem in Aretz. That's lechem, bread from the ground. Betzorich biur, this itself needs to be understood. The birchas hazon v'al achilo hamazbas, the blessing of man, or the blessing of birchas hamazon, is recited, and the aftermath of satiation, as it says, v'achalta. Does it say uverachta? V'achalta, you eat uverachta? No, v'savata. What does v'savata mean?
Satiation.
Da achila hamasbas. It's eating in a manner that satisfies, that satiates. He be'ikir belechem in haaretz. When do you get real satiation? Lechem in haaretz. Bread.
From the land.
And even if you eat a lot of protein, it doesn't work. Atkins is like eating man. You're always hungry.
You're right. It's true.
So the reality is, complex carbohydrates, lechem in ha'aretz, the grains, the five grains. That's what gives you a real sense of satiation. So because that's the case, achila mazbasis b'lechem in ha'aretz. So it has to be that the bracha we thank Hashem is going to be v'savata. It's going to be v'savata. Where's it going to be from? Lechem in ha'aretz. V'afal pikin, despite the fact that the bracha that lechem in ha'shamayim does not really satiate. And that's the reason that even though in the first bracha we finished saying hazar nesayilim kulib tuvi b'chem b'chesed v'rachman, we have to go ahead in the second bracha that we're thanking Hashem al ha'aretz v'al ha'mazin, because the mazin of the first bracha didn't satiate. One second, the habracha al ha'mazin, the lechem in ha'aretz, he bebirchas ha'aretz, thanking God for satiation for earthly mortal food is actually in the second bracha. Shaloi neimer ba v'achalta v'savata. It doesn't say v'achalta v'savata. This is Allah to the concept of v'achalta v'savata v'alam man. It's on the man. The chesiv bay, it says about the man, v'yanecha v'yarivecha. He starved you.
Let's try to reconnect that.
Here it says the bracha comes because of v'savata. The bracha is coming because of satiation. And on the other hand, we're saying, In other words, the whole concept of the food for which we thank Hashem necessarily has to have the concept of consumption. And factually speaking, the bread that they ate did not satiate. Not only it did not satiate, Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Ekev, when he tries to talk about the bread, he emphasizes the starving sensation. He emphasizes lack of satiation. And ironically, it's in the same parsha where we read V'achalta V'savata, in that same parsha, the same Torah portion, in which we find the pasuk, the verse, that teaches us that we should be satiated and thank Hashem. That same verse, same parsha, is the one where Moshe Rabbeinu describes the starving sensation, the lack of satiation. Gam tzarech lahavin, masha ha'inu diyeh makipurim lemeidim miha'inu anemar gabimon. Now it gets even stranger. Plot thickens. Yom Kippur. How do we observe it? It's not what you do. It's really what you don't do. The highest level of it is respect. You do what you're supposed to do. You respect Hashem. Hashem says, don't eat, you don't eat. And where do we learn that? It says V'inisim. It doesn't say don't eat. It doesn't say Al Teichlu. It says V'inisim. How do you know V'inisim means that you shouldn't eat? And the answer is from here. Because it says here. Ne'em akan inui. It says inu ve'nisim is nafshe sechem. That's a pasuk of Parshas Achrimash that speaks about how we should observe Yom Kippur. And then v'nemer la'alon. It says later on in the Torah, Parshas Ekev v'yancha v'yarivecha. So how do I know that tormenting of the soul means the concept of feeling hungry? Maybe tormenting the soul means to go and roll in the snow. Maybe it means to jump in a frozen pool. Maybe it means stand on your head. I don't know. There's a lot of ways you could torment yourself. Maybe it means self-flagellation. How do you know it means starvation? How do you know it means hunger? How do I know? From the pasuk of Parshas Ekev, that it says inoy and it says ravan. Just like over here, it speaks clearly about food and it speaks about the lack of satiation, a starving sensation. So therefore, I know afkan inoy is ravan. Tzarech biur. This itself requires explanation. She inoy ravan de man, that the starving sensation of man. It didn't leave them feeling fully satiated. And one of the reasons that's given, you cannot compare circumstances or reality in which there is bread in the pantry. When there's bread in the basket or the pantry, everybody is full. The moment the pantry is empty, everybody's hungry. But you just finished lunch 15 minutes ago. I know, but the pantry's empty. That's the nature. Pas basale, as long as you have the possibility, nobody needs it. The moment there's no washroom, everybody needs to go to the washroom. With the kids, put them in the car, everybody's buckled up. 5 minutes later, you got to go to the washroom. Why did you have to go 5 minutes ago? That's human nature. What do you want from him? He's human. Pas basale, bread in the pantry, you got satiation. Okay, so the man, the whole point is that there was no pantry. The Jewish people saved on pantry space. No pantry necessary in those tents. Why not? Because you couldn't save the food. The only time you saved the food was on Shabbos, that they put it on the table, Lecha Mishnah, or on the Shmata they sat, wherever they ate. So the point was then, the Dvar Yoyim B'Yoyimai, the mun coming on a daily basis. So therefore, you never had anything in the pantry. So there was always a sense of hunger. Every caterer knows that there's three things that are important to be able to satisfy your customers. Presentation, presentation, and presentation. Presentation is very important. If the food looks good, people think it's fantastic. If the food looks lousy, it could taste amazing. It's not. It's a loze, as they say. You could bet your bottom dollar that the astronauts or cosmonauts who were busy eating their lunches and dinners out of toothpaste tubes did not find it having a wonderful, come, let's have lunch. It was a survival mechanism, not an enjoyable mechanism. And Amon is a wonderful food. You could taste whatever you wanted. But what did you get to see? A plate of white crystals. A lot worse than tofu. Tofu has substance. A plate of crystals. You eat crystals for 40 years in a row. So all you get to eat is crystals. You never get to see it. It doesn't look like anything. So these are the reasons that we say that the mun didn't fully satiate. There's other reasons. There's other explanations that the mun didn't have a... It was a heavenly food. It didn't have any, and there was no toxicity, and it didn't require any digestion. It was assimilated immediately into the bloodstream. But at any rate, the point is, it didn't engender a full sense of satiation. It wasn't you were starving. They didn't feel like Yom Kippur all the time. They just didn't feel like the evening after Yom Kippur all the time. Yom Kippur is finished, you're stuffed like a goose. Yom Kippur is on, you're hungry. So they didn't feel that sense of hunger, but they didn't feel ever satiation. But a mizesh medamen inui ravin demon liinu rava diyam kippurim. From the fact that the Torah clearly likens and juxtaposes and compares the starving sensation of the mon to the starving sensation that's induced by lack of eating on Yom Kippur, mashma, the intimation is sheinu ravin demon, that the pain, if you will, or the hunger of the mon. It seems pretty clear that it's not just that the mun didn't satisfy. It's not just that the mun didn't induce satiation, like achila al derech haragel, like normative eating. Ella rather, you felt after eating the mun, just like before eating the mun. They literally felt that they were starving. They went starvation for 40 years, always hungry. Always hungry. So why didn't they die? Because they had nourishment. But they never felt satiated. It was commercial ayachal. Well, here the Rebbe says, no, shal pizeh tzarech lahavin ayyeser. This requires even, it further exacerbates and leavens our lack of understanding and our almost like incredulous reaction to the business that Birchas Hazon was created for the man. Because the Birchas Bechalta v'savata, and now we're finding out not only it wasn't full savata, there was no savata. They're actually starving. Now that the mun doesn't fall anymore, it hasn't fallen for a very, very long time. So kol ha-brachas de birchas ha-mazneim l'cheira al-lechem in ha-aretz. When we recite birchas ha-mazneim, we're talking about earthly material food. We're busy reading a formula that was arranged by Moshe Rabbeinu some 33 plus centuries ago for manna that fell, but we have no man. We're making the bracha for a very different kind of food. A food that doesn't only nourish or hydrate, a food that actually satiates. So how does that work? The Yuvans of Bahagdim will understand. I want to just point out the bigger question. We're not going to have like a pshat answer here. And really there isn't an answer in pshat so much. But the pshat is that it seems almost oxymoronic. And that's sometimes how it is in Torah. Sometimes we have, in Yonim, we have ideas which are not necessarily intuitive, and they don't seem perfectly balanced or logical, and they're rife with contradictions. The question really, though, is, what does this mean to us? What does it mean to us? What is the point? Torah is coming along, introducing these ideas that seem on the surface to contradict each other. And where are we going with this? What really is the point? So this is what the issue is.
Well, Rabbi, it's no different for bread, because we're obligated after a gezayit. Who's satiated after a gezayit?
The idea that we eat a kezias and make birchas hamazon is not biblical. That's a rabbinic idea. It's a separate thing.
It's the same problem. Though.
It's not the same problem. It's a different issue. There's Birchas HaMazon min HaTorah and Birchas HaMazon mid Rabbanon. Min HaTorah, biblically, one is required to make Birchas HaMazon only after satiation. And rabbinically, one is required to make Birchas HaMazon even without satiation when you eat a modicum portion. That's two different things. So much so that if you ate a kezias and your friend ate to satiation, your Birchas HaMazon doesn't work for him. So if he doesn't know how to bench, and he needs you to say Birchas HaMazon, and he's going to say Amen for you, yours doesn't work. Why? Because you are biblically obligated, and you're rabbinically obligated, and he's biblically obligated. One ate to satiation, and one did not. Understand? It's not. All right. The Yuvin Zabahagdim. The Rebbe says, in order to better understand this, let's preface this with a fascinating medrash. It's a medrash that's found in Kehelas Rabba, and the medrash says, Shahamon hayomaychal raven, that the man was food of starvation. The pirush vayari vecha. What is the meaning of he starved you? Esamon hu shevayari vecha koy alaman, that the man itself caused hunger. The man did not only not satiate, which would be the lack of satiation. So invariably, because the man doesn't satiate, so naturally I experience hunger. No, the man caused hunger. The man induced hunger. What does that mean? What does it mean, Haman Herevesim? Inyan hu, the thing is like this. Man, reimez la'agada. Man is likened to the metaphoric elements of Torah, to the agadic or storied parts of Torah. As it says, Kamesha kasavahu kezera gad lavan, that it was like a white coriander seed, ve'isa b'mechilta, the medrash halacha that accompanies that pasuk. In Chumash Shemais, is what does it mean? God loving ka'agoda shemayshaches liba shaladam. It was like the stories in the Gemara where it says Reiv Seidus Hatera Gnuzim. Most of the secrets of the Torah are folded, tucked into the folds of those stories, and oftentimes camouflaged in those stories. That the nature of agada is it's mayshaches liba shaladam. It's interesting. It's fascinating. People go, really? Tell me some more. It draws you in. Shahu pnimiyas Hatera. That this really refers to the esoteric or mystical dimension of Torah. It's like it's explained in many places. The lechem in ha'aretz. When we talk about Torah, we talk about nourishment. It is written, v'toyroscha v'toych meyo, your Torah is in my kishkes. That the idea of an idea being assimilated into my existence, my mind grasping, is much like food that's digested. So if you eat healthy food, your body is healthy. If you eat junk food, so then you have junk inside you. So if a person spends his time immersing himself in junk, reading junk material and narishkeit, so then that's the sum total of his existence, of his experience. As his whole human experience is characterized by narishkeit, because that's what he's absorbing. A whole pile of silliness and emptiness. But instead, a person studies Torah, so then that becomes, that defines, Pokemon you said, yeah. It is narishkeit, but that's not even something you understand. There's a lot of things people read articles in narishkeit. There's a whole life reading narishkeit. So that actually becomes the defining currency of your existence. It's narishkeit. Person learns Torah, spends time learning Torah, and that becomes your defining existence. That you have a meaningful and a purposeful and an elevated perspective on life. Like it says, even dreams of a person come, depends what you put in all day. It's like a computer. Put in the enter the information wrong, you get the garbage out. Put it all in right, then you get a perfect analysis. What's a dream? A dream is like an X-ray vision of what happened during the day. It's a microcosm of the day. Your day is filled with meaning. Your day is filled with purpose. Your day is filled with elevated reality. You have an elevated kind of dream. Okay, before, like explained, the lechem in ha'aretz, bread that comes from the ground, then since Torah is not metaphorized as nourishment, bread that comes from the ground is galia the Torah. That's the revealed aspects of Torah. The Torah that talks about halacha, the Torah, the actual technical parts of Torah. And then there's lechem in hashamayim. Then there's bread or nourishment from heaven. And that refers to pnimiyas ha'Torah, the spiritual, the mystical, the Kabbalistic, the inner track, the esoteric element of Torah. V'kivan she'pnimiyas ha'Torah hu'rak yediyas ha'metzias. When you learn pnimiyas ha'Torah, you're hearing about things. But it's not hasaga samos, you don't really understand it. When you read a gemara that says there's a shor, there's an ox, she'nagach ha'sapara, that gores a cow, is very literal. In fact, if you don't know what an ox is, you don't know what a cow is, you don't really understand the Gemara. The Rebbe was once by Febrengen, and he was like, laughing. He said it was a child came to him for bar mitzvah boy. The Rebbe asked him a question about the Gemara he learned, and the Rebbe, because he doesn't know one word he's talking about, the Rebbe said, "Do you know what an ox is?" He said, "Something with horns. I don't know. It's a horny thing." And he said, "You know what a cow is?" "I don't know. I never saw an animal." So you don't have an image. You don't know what you're talking about. That obviously would not be a wise way to learn. So today we have these new Gemaras that are printed with pictures in them. They have illustrations. And the illustrations, we know exactly what's going on. You have an illustration, you understand it. You're not talking about the seventh heaven. You're talking about a reality that's in front of you. That's when we talk about the exoteric part of Torah. So you're talking about an area of land, somebody needs an Eruv, you have, here's your picture, here's what the land looks like, here's what the doorpost looks like, here's what the alleyway looks like. You're talking about whatever it may be, we're talking about technical realities, part of our everyday existence where everyday people understand that. And then you open up a sefer of Chassidus or other level, kind of premium Atayra, and you hear about Malachim, and you hear about the world of Atzilus. And you go, look, oh, okay, Atzilus, that's when that's your floor number four when you get in the elevator. I said, what are you talking about? The floor number four? What are you, ridiculous? An Atzilus diagram? Want a painting of Atzilus? It's Narishkeit. It's a conceptual thing. It's not a literal thing. So because it's conceptual and because we talk about these things and we say but we don't really know what it is. Lachein alima de pnimis ateira. Therefore, the learning pnimis ateira is kosher beravin. It's connected to hunger. What does it mean? Al derech ha-ra'av re'ev l'shmaya is dvar Hashem. There's a pasuk in Amos that says that when Mashiach will come, what will we be hungry for? Not for bread. Kim l'shmaya dvar Hashem. We'll be hungry for the word of Hashem. And the more of the pnimis ateira you get, the less satiated you feel. Because you never really get it. You never really get it. You can't get it. So therefore, the more you learn, the more hungry it makes you. It doesn't fill you up. It makes you hungry for more. Understand? The opposite of satiation. You want to always get, you want to get the point. So it says, there's this Hasidic aphorism, that what's the difference between those who learn Hasidus and those who don't? We both don't know what we're talking about. We understand what means Malachim, and so we don't know what we're talking about anyway. So the difference will be when Mashiach will come, the Hasidim will say, aha, aha, that's what it means Atzilus, that's what means the Bri, Yetzirah, that's what means the Malachim. Now we know what. And the other people didn't learn. Well, they won't have a clue what they're looking at. The whole difference is, aha. On a deeper level, Yishlemer, the Masher class of a Medish, when it says the Medish is Michael Ravin, is a food of starvation. Hakavona b'zehi, the intention is laid. Aksham on poil, eini shoyel Ravin ba'adam. Not that the man, in effect, does not remove the hunger. Elagam, shaman atzmayu Michael Ravin, that the man itself causes, creates the hunger. Now let's preface or build this further on the explanation we just read, that we just studied. The lechem in the that lechem, bread from earth, is galya the Torah. That's the revealed track of Torah. Lechem in Hashemayim is pnimius Torah. The food, the bread from heaven, that's the inner track. That's the esoteric part of Torah. Hu bechlolus, that's generally speaking. Aval beprotius, if you want to get more detailed, shnei and yonim elu. Both of these dimensions, the lechem in haaretz and the lechem in Hashemayim, both the bread from earth and from heaven, are also in pnimius ha-teira. In other words, pnimius ha-teira itself divides into two distinctly different dimensions. V'ha'inyinu, the thing is, the Issa B'Tanya, we learned in Tanya. And this is found in Kuntus Acher, in the fifth section of Tanya. We have all kinds of interesting explanations about mystical ideas. She'belimud pnimius ha-teira shnei yonim. When you learn the inner track, the mystical part of Torah, there's two things that are being accomplished here. One is shehi mitzvah rama v'nesah, that it is a great and awesome, wondrous mitzvah. What's the wondrous mitzvah? The wondrous mitzvah is to learn about the heavenly realities, the divine realities, to know Seder Hishtalshlus, to know the order in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world unfolds. U'shemeviya l'lev shalim. It brings us to a wholesomeness of heart. V'yesh leimar. When you're learning Pnimiyas HaTeira, Lafisha Mevi'a L'Lev Sholem, since it brings us to wholesomeness of heart, or to full sincerity, Kevan Sheshayech L'Inyan HaBirurim, since this is connected to the idea of becoming a better person, and the reality is that when you learn Chassidus, it does make you a better person, even though it's not talking about you at all. It's talking about the Eibishter. But when a Yid learns about the Eibishter, and he becomes aware of such lofty material and such deep ideas and profound concepts, automatically it makes you a little smaller. So Musar attacks the element of the human condition. and points out all of its failings, all of its vices, all of its ugliness. Chassidus doesn't talk about the person, b'chal. Who are you? When you learn enough Chassidus, you don't even know if you exist anymore, b'chal. So this is all connected to Inyan Abirurim. Your head's in a higher place. Automatically, it eclipses all the darkness that naturally comes along with human characteristics. That's Daimelu Lechem in Aretz. That part of learning Pnimius HaTorah, that's Lechem in Aretz, because actually, it does accomplish something. You're actually getting there. It's getting there. The person says, my life is changing. I used to be this selfish, obnoxious person. I'm not like that anymore. There's a famous chassid of the Alter Rebbe. Before he became a chassid, he learned the Daven the whole day. Then he became a chassid, he learned the Daven the whole day. So I said to him, what did you need chassidus for? What do you need the Alter Rebbe for? He said, I'll tell you the truth. You're right. It's exactly the same. I had a question before, and I have a question now. It's a little bit different, he said, but that's a tiny little difference. He says, for this you needed chassidus. For this you needed to fight with your family and run away from them and go to the Alter Rebbe for a little tiny difference. He says, yeah, I'll explain. Before I met the Alter Rebbe and learned chassidus, I used to think a whole day, how will God ever be able to give me Gan Eden? I learned Torah so much. I'm such a Baal Mesidus Nefesh. I'm such a holy Jew. How will God ever be able to give me Torah? And what was my answer? He's a kol yochel. God is omnipotent. He can pull it off. He says, now I learned chassidus, and I ask myself, how in heaven does God have nachas from such a snarling, selfish little brat? How could God stand my learning Torah? How could God stomach my davening? And my answer is, he's a kol yachal. He's omnipotent. Same question, same answer. A tiny little difference. So that's on one hand, the chassidus brings us to a sense of wholeness, wholesomeness. It's like lechem in haaretz. Where's the real lechem in Hashemayim? Where's the real hunger? Where's the lack of satiation? Where's the person say, oh, I'm not happy and not satisfied, give me more, and you keep wanting more? That's when you have limud of idea, the pnimius haTorah, knowing Torah, that you never know it. You never know it. In the world, you go to school, you get a degree, I'm a master of this, master of that. And a guy will come along, I'm a master of chassidus. You laugh in his face. Master, who's a master of chassidus? No such thing. Whatever you learn, another level. You just get into another vista, another dimension you don't understand. Yishleim, the Rebbe takes it further. That the difference between these two approaches, it's also within the realm of the cerebral activity and the intelligent grasp of the learning. Learning the inner track, the esoteric part of Torah, to come to wholesomeness of heart. This refers to the intellectual element of our emotive characteristics. There's an intellectual element of things where a person is not aflame with passion, but in his heart, and you see it with your heart, you understand it with your heart. You have an emotive kind of understanding. But the learning of pnimius haTorah, that's totally objective. It's not about how do you feel about this. How are you relating to Atzilus? I'm not really. I mean, a Rebbe relates to Atzilus. So the regular person doesn't really relate to it in that sense. This could be then the explanation of the business that mon is maichol raven. That mon is food that starves. Ki inyan sevia, the idea of satiation, cerebrally speaking. Inyan haseichel. Hu shehu toifes es haseichel. You're hungry. You need an answer. You don't understand this. You toil and then, I get it. I'm learning a topic in the Gemara, a sugya. I got it. I got this topic. I figured it out. I cracked the code. I understand the Shittas of Rishonim now. I have a clarity as to what's the thrust of the Gemara. I got it. The knowledge of Meichen is Shayachal Lamidis. It also is connected to the emotive side. I feel good about it. I feel satisfied. And it affects the Midas. It's something that changes the way, because I understand differently, I react differently, and I relate differently. It's grasped in the mind of a person, and the person grasps it fully. And that's why it has an effect on him, because he fully grasps it. That's Meichel HaMasbiyah. That's the metaphor of food that satiates. When we're talking about that which can only be understood by the mind, but the heart cannot suffer, and that's Lechem in HaShemayim. That's the bread from heaven. A person studies this, and it's amazing. It's wondrous. It's totally beyond what I can grasp. Can I say I understand it? No, I'm in awe of it. It's just overwhelming. It's not something that I can fully grasp. So do I ever feel satiated? No, I'm always hungry. I'm left hungry. Some people don't like learning to this. So it makes me hungry. It doesn't satisfy me. Right? But they don't understand that it's not about them. But it's very different. So now we understand that the concept of nourishment, there's two levels of nourishment. Within the framework on a spiritual level of Torah, learning Torah, there's two kinds of Torah, two dimensions of Torah. There's the starvation dimension of Torah, and then there's the satiation dimension of Torah. Galya the Torah, the revealed aspect of Torah, satiates. Pnimius HaTorah hungers you. But obviously, it's a hunger that's elevative. And the truth is, Yom Kippur also elevates. The starvation of Yom Kippur is more satisfying than all the meals you eat all year. It's a satisfying thing. When you bond with Yom Kippur, come to your Ne'ilah point, unless you have a migraine, it picks you up. It didn't satisfy you in a typical sense, but it elevates and transforms you. And so it is also with this Lechem Min HaShemayim. Lechayim.
Man, I never satiated.